And so, who is Jonah? Well, Jonah was the son of a man named Amittai, and he was born near Nazareth in the northern kingdom of Israel. He prophesied in Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom, during the reign of Jeroboam II. And you can read about him in 2 Kings chapter 14. And Jeroboam did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. And so he was an evil, sinful king who was unfaithful to the Lord in many ways. At this time of the writing, Israel was going through a somewhat prosperous time. And so people didn't necessarily feel the need to depend on God. And Jonah was called to go to a city called Nineveh. And the Bible refers to that as Nineveh, the great city. It was an important city that eventually became the capital of Assyria. It's located on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, near modern Mosul, Iraq. It was a large, great city that would take 3 days to get through it. And it was as an old city, originally built by Nimrod, who was the great-grandson of Noah. So it's back in Genesis 10:11. You can see Nineveh being named there. It was known for wickedness, for violence, for brutality, for cruelty. It was a city of pagan religions, did not believe in God at all. And one of my commentators wrote these words, "While all sin is abhorrent to God, in some instances a specific group of people have become so wicked that God issued a special call of localized judgment." So it was with Nineveh. Archaeology confirms the biblical witness to the wickedness of the Assyrians. They were well known in the ancient world for brutality and cruelty. And Jonah, as God's servant, was to go to Nineveh and proclaim God's imminent judgment upon them for their sin. Assyria was an enemy of Israel, who would ultimately destroy and take captive the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel. And you can read about that in 2 Kings 17. And so now I'd like to read this book for us. Jonah, beginning verse 1 of chapter 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lay down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. And may God bless it to our understanding as we meditate upon it. The prophet Jonah was a good example of one who struggles with the call of God in his life. He was a prophet called by God to do something he really didn't want to do. And he had to learn the hard way that there truly is a sovereign God who is merciful and gracious toward repentant sinners. He had to learn to say yes to God, even when he would prefer to say no. And we've looked a little bit at the background there of Noah and the city he was called to preach to. And we want to look now, as we go through, at exactly what happened and how God responded in all of these different situations, and the mercy and grace of God that's shown in many different ways as we go through this book. And so we look first at God's call to Jonah. And he told Jonah in chapter 1, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." So Jonah was called to make a journey, and it was a journey of around 500 miles. Probably had to do it on a camel. And it's about, just to give a rough estimation, it would be about the same as getting on a camel here at our church and riding it to Detroit, Michigan. It would have taken about a month. It would not have been a pleasant journey. And what was at the end was a call to declare God's impending judgment upon that evil people who happened to be Israel's enemy. He was to call them to repentance. He was to proclaim, as God said in 3:4, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But notice here is one of the places we see God's grace and mercy, because he gave the Ninevites 40 days to repent. He didn't just say, "All right, Jonah, you go and say those words and immediately I'm going to destroy that city." He gave them 40 days to repent and turn to the Lord. And Jonah was concerned, because Jonah had been preaching and serving as a prophet in that northern kingdom of Israel, where there was much evil, where the people who should have known God had turned against him in many ways and turned to other gods. And Jonah was concerned because God had been merciful to Israel. He hadn't destroyed Israel. Maybe he won't destroy Assyria either. He was concerned that God would be merciful and gracious toward Israel's enemy if they heeded that word that he preached. And he wanted Israel's enemy to be destroyed. And he knew God could destroy them. God is all-powerful, almighty. He had the ability to destroy them. But Jonah also knew that God is merciful and gracious to sinners as he leads them in the path of repentance. And he had seen that many times in the past. Jonah was fearful that if they repented, God would spare the Ninevites from the destruction they deserved. And so instead of getting on his camel and spending a month traveling northeast to the great city of his enemy, Jonah instead headed southwest to Joppa, a port on the Mediterranean Sea. And you know, if you got a compass, it would be pretty close to 180 degrees from where he was supposed to go, is where he actually did go. Went exactly opposite from where God commanded him. And he paid the fare and got on the ship to Tarshish, trying to get as far as he could from Nineveh. We don't know exactly where Tarshish was, but one of the commentators I read said it was possibly a Phoenician city, a port in Spain, which would be a couple of thousand miles away. Jonah was determined to get as far as he could from Nineveh, so the Ninevites wouldn't hear the call to repentance and turn away from their sin. But Jonah couldn't escape God. We read about that in Psalm 139, and I preached about that last week. God is there. God is everywhere. And Jonah, as God's servant, he knew, and he had to saw, he was rebelling against what he knew, that God was almighty, and God was there, and God was with him. God had been with him throughout his time serving as a prophet. Jonah couldn't escape from God. And God stops Jonah. And once again, we see God's grace and mercy. God hurled a great wind upon the sea. And it's like the word hurled there is like hurling a spear. It was fast, it was violent, it was powerful. And it, if you've ever seen a strong wind on the lake or on the ocean, you know what it can do to the waves. And it struck fear into the sailors, and it threatened to break up the ship. So it was a really bad storm that they were going through. But Jonah was asleep. And he was perhaps exhausted from trying to run away from God. And maybe he thought he had succeeded. And so he could just rest comfortably, knowing that he made it. He got on the boat. He's going away from God. He won't have to go to Nineveh. Well, the ship's captain came and woke him up. And after a while, we read in here how they determined that it was Jonah who was the cause, and his attempt to run away from God was the cause of that storm. And then, once they figured that out, Jonah told them the way to stop the storm was to throw him overboard, and that God would stop the storm and deliver them from it. And God showed mercy to the sailors as they tried to just row to the port, to the shore rather, but they couldn't do it, and so they finally threw him overboard. And the storm stopped. And it led to them turning to the Lord. And God appointed a great fish. And once again, we see the mercy and the grace of God. Here is this man who is running away from God, seeking to do the opposite of what God called him to do. And God didn't let him drown in the sea. He gave Jonah 3 days in the belly of that fish to reflect on the necessity of trusting God and doing what God called him to do instead of trying to run away from God and do the opposite of what God commanded him to do. It wasn't a pleasant 3 days. You can imagine being in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Not a place I would ever want to be. But it gave him time to think. And he discovered, as you can see in his prayer, he realized at that point that God was really with him. God was there with him in the belly of the fish. And God heard his prayer. Nobody else around could have heard it. God could hear it. Jonah recognized the sovereignty of God. God is the only one able to hear and answer him. Jonah is in the fish because of God's merciful grace. And he finally recognized his sin and turned to the Lord for deliverance. And now he's ready to go and fulfill the duty God required. And so God spoke to the fish. Notice he spoke to the fish and said, "Fish, vomit Jonah out." And the fish did that, onto dry land. And God then sent him to Nineveh. And he fulfilled his mission to call the people of Nineveh to repentance. And when the people heard that message preached by Jonah, they did repent. And they called upon the Lord to show mercy to them. Even the king was in sackcloth and on ashes. And they fasted and they prayed. And God saw that they truly repented of their sin, and he relented from destroying Nineveh. And then we see Jonah's reaction. God was gracious and merciful to Nineveh. And Jonah became very angry. And it's interesting to look at Jonah's response there. He really had a temper tantrum with God. He said, "I told you so." That's basically what he said to God. "I told you so. I knew you were going to be like that. I knew you were merciful and gracious. And that's why I went away. I was going to go to Tarshish because I didn't want these people to repent and turn away and then you not destroy them. I wanted them to be destroyed." And there's some possible reasons for his anger. For one thing, of course, Nineveh was part of the enemy of Israel. And so he had a nationalistic desire to see Israel triumphant and not have Nineveh and Assyria there to conquer Israel. And they were getting more and more powerful, and eventually they would conquer Israel. One of the commentators said, "The stigma of being instrumental in the sparing of one of Israel's greatest enemies may have been more than Jonah's emotional makeup could withstand. He might have felt his personal reputation was at stake, since he had proclaimed destruction was going to happen to Nineveh, and it didn't. And he may have wanted the destruction of Nineveh to be a warning to rebellious Israel, because he would have to go back to Israel, and of course, they were rebelling against God in many ways, and maybe he was thinking, hey, if they see what God did to Nineveh, maybe they'll repent." We don't know, of course, exactly what was going through his mind, but those are some possibilities. And then God called on Jonah to reflect on what he had complained to God about. And Jonah went out of the city to see what would happen. We don't have Jonah's verbal response to God there in verse 4:4, but he went out to see what would happen. And it's possible that the 40 days weren't up yet, and Jonah went out to watch and hope that the people of Nineveh would revert to their old evil ways, and God would go ahead and destroy them. But while he was there, God graciously provided a plant to shade Jonah. And keep in mind, as you think about this part of the world, the daily average temperature there would have been over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It was not a pleasant place to sit out in the sun. And God provided this plant, and it made Jonah very happy. And it's the first time in the book that we see Jonah really exceedingly happy. He was joyful about this plant. But the next day, God appointed a worm. God was going to teach Jonah a lesson here. And that worm came to attack the plant and made it wither and die. And Jonah became very angry at God again. One irony of this segment is that although destruction is a recurring theme in the book, that's why Jonah was going to Nineveh to proclaim destruction, the only actual destruction that occurs in the book of Jonah is that of this vine. So destruction came not upon Nineveh, but upon something that had become very important to Jonah, something that had brought him great joy. And God ends the discussion with Jonah by comparing Jonah's pity for the plant with God's pity for Nineveh when they repented of their sin. And in verses 10 and 11 we read, And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Gave Jonah something to think about there. A little thing and a big thing. And we see God's grace and His mercy shown in all of it. Well, how does this relate to us? And how do we apply these words? Well, first of all, how should we respond to God's call on us to serve Him? We see how Jonah responded, and we see how God dealt with him, and how God's will to proclaim that news to Nineveh was carried out. Are you tempted sometimes to be like Jonah? To go the other way when God calls you to do something? Sometimes we're called to do hard things, and sometimes that temptation can be great. How do you respond when God opens opportunities for you that are different from what you wanted or planned on doing? I know that's happened to me in my life, and I suspect it's happened to at least some of you in yours as well. Is there a call to Nineveh facing you? Second, how do you respond to God when He chastises you for sin in your life? Do you make excuses and have tantrums like Jonah did? God confronted him, and the call of God had been upon him all along, and God confronted him with the sin he had committed and with his rebellion against God, and called him to repentance. How do you respond when He chastises you for sin in your life? We all sin. We've inherited that sinful nature from Adam. How do we respond? If you're truly trusting in Christ, then your response should be to turn in repentance, to trust in the Lord to lead you, even if it's something difficult that you have to do to repent. How do you respond when God is merciful to someone you don't think deserves His mercy, and that person turns in faith to God? That can be a difficult one as well. What do you think about those you might consider your enemies? How do you relate to them? What's the call that you make when you're faced with that situation? What especially happens when that person turns in faith to Christ? We're called to proclaim the gospel. There is good news. There is good news for each of us. If you haven't come to know Christ, know that there is good news, that there is a God who is almighty and all-powerful, and He sent His Son into this world. And His Son, Jesus, lived the perfect life that you and I cannot live because we inherited that sinful nature from Adam. And He was faithful even unto death on the cross. And He rose again on that third day, in victory over sin and death. And He rose and He ascended into heaven to sit at His Father's right hand as our King, our Mediator. And when we proclaim that news to someone, when we proclaim it out into the world, and someone that we don't particularly like responds in faith, how do we respond to that? And there's broader implications to these lessons as well. And we see in the New Testament, Jesus declares that the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And of course, that something greater than Jonah was Jesus himself. And the men of Nineveh. Nineveh, which did not remain a faithful people. Nevertheless, those men of Nineveh who did turn to the Lord will rise up in judgment against those who have been unfaithful, who have called on the name of the Lord, perhaps as the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus was dealing with did, but did not truly believe and trust in God's deliverer. And we see in Matthew chapter 12 that the scripture points, uses this to point forward to Christ. And we read there, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, that's Jesus, saying, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And of course, Jesus was speaking there of his crucifixion and his 3 days he was there in the grave before he rose again. And just as God delivered Jonah from the fish, Jesus likewise was delivered. Jesus was actually dead. Jonah, of course, was not. But there is a definite relation there between those two circumstances. And it pointed forward. Even back then, it pointed forward to what would happen as Jesus came among men. And so we see God's grace and his mercy shown to both Jonah and Nineveh. And as we do that, let's acknowledge his sovereignty, God's sovereignty in all circumstances we may find ourselves. May we learn from what happened in Jonah's life and be prepared to serve God wherever and however he may call us to serve and not rebel against him. We need to be open. The call upon us is to be open to the call of God and to answer it, yes, when God calls you and me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way you teach us from it. We thank you for the mercy that you showed to Jonah, even in his rebellion. And Lord, we confess that we are sinners and we have not always done your will. And sometimes we have turned away. And we confess that, Lord. And we pray that you would be merciful to us as you were merciful to Jonah and as you were merciful to Nineveh. And we thank you, Lord, for teaching us. For teaching us to be open to your call upon us, no matter what it may be, even if we're called to go to somebody we don't really like and preach the good news of Christ to them. And we pray, Lord, that you would cause us, as they turn by your Spirit in repentance and faith, that you would lead us to rejoice and not be angry like Jonah was. Bless us, O God. Bless your word as it goes out through the world. Cause your kingdom to be advanced. And we thank you, Lord, for the way you're doing that, even now. We pray, Lord, for your mercy upon those who proclaim your word throughout the world. Guide and direct them. Guide them by your Spirit. Lead people through their ministry to hear that good news and then open their hearts to believe it. And we pray that that would happen throughout the world. Lord, we pray that you would meet our special needs. We ask that you would be with those who may be sick today, that you would restore their health. We pray particularly for our friend Jonathan McDonald as he recovers from COVID. And we pray that you would bless him with no recurring problems from that. And Lord, we pray for others that are suffering. Lord, we pray for those families that are mourning where the children and adults were murdered in a school that's associated with our brothers and sisters in the PCA. And we pray, Lord, for your mercy on them. And we pray that you would bring comfort to them. We pray for all who suffer and who struggle in this life. May your name be glorified as you minister to them. We pray, Lord, that you would provide for us all the things we need each day. And we thank you for the way that you do that. We pray that you would turn us away from sin. Lord, sometimes it takes a lot, like it did with Jonah. But we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to learn from your Spirit, to be built up in our faith and in our commitment to you. We come before you, O God, acknowledging in all things that you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so we bring our prayer for your mercy and your grace with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.